The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Some of us have great stories. Noodle salad, good. Pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and good. Noodle salad, boats and friends and good. Noodle salad. But a lot of people, that's their story. Noodle salad, boats and friends and boats and friends and good times. Noodle salad, noodle salad, that's their story. Noodle salad, noodle salad, noodle salad. What makes it so hard is not that you had it bad, but noodle salad, good. Good, good. That's their story. Noodle salad.
So there I was in a bar, and I was eating shrimp, because that's what I do. The man next to me whispered in a hushed sort of way, which is what whispering is, and he said, "Hey, hey, can I buy you a beverage to replenish your precious body? Bodily fluids?" I said, "Sure, sure." And almost instantly, a glass of whiskey appeared before me. I kept eating shrimp, because that's what I do. And he said, "I've got a lot of pow." And I said, "Yeah, yeah, I've got a lot of shrimp. The Frank is on right now."
Ha ha ha, ha ha ha, pow.
Arguments with Mike the cop. Now cut him out.
Now look, Abbott, I don't want to argue with Mike the cop. He argues with me. You see, I'm trying to be a policeman like you. But you see the questions he asks me?
Oh, a little teeny weeny question.
Because you're smart, you can answer him. He don't have to make a dope out of me in front of everybody.
You are a dope.
Well, I mean, after all, I can't answer those kind of questions.
What's hard about those questions?
If he asks me some easy, simple... Ask me the easy questions. You know, the little ones, like I can answer the guy.
You can't answer any questions.
Well, it's a good.
All right. Suppose you walked over there and you bored a hole in that wall.
What wall?
Over there.
All right, I'll go over there and bore a hole in the wall.
Why? Why should you go over there and bore a hole in that wall?
I'm not boring a hole in the wall.
Why should you go over there and bore a hole in that wall?
You said to me, suppose I go over there and bore a hole in the wall.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Ask me easy questions, eh?
Look, suppose you walked into a baseball park. What teams are playing?
I don't know.
Then what are you doing in the baseball park?
I'm not in any baseball park.
You see, you don't know what you're talking about.
Get me out of that baseball park. I don't want to go to no baseball park.
Tell me, I've got to teach you these things. What is the first thing you buy in a baseball park?
Hot dogs.
A hot dog.
Without mustard. Without mustard.
Mustard goes with a hot dog.
Not with mine.
Mustard was made for the hot dog.
I don't care what the stuff is made for. I'm not going to eat it.
But Lou, mustard and the hot dog go together.
Let them go together. I'm not going to spoil any romance.
Who's talking about romance?
I mean, after all, if I don't like mustard, I don't have to eat it for you or nobody else. I won't even eat it for like a cop.
Oh, well, I didn't know you disliked it. I only asked you the question.
Who do you think you are to tell me to put mustard on a hot dog?
I'm not telling you to do anything, Lou.
If I want to put ketchup on a hot dog, there's no law saying I can't put ketchup on a hot dog.
No, Lizzie, you're right there. I'm not asking.
I don't have to put mustard on a hot dog for you or nobody else.
Put it on. Forget about it.
This is a free country, and if I don't want to eat mustard, I don't have to eat it.
Oh, Holly, you don't
like... nobody. I'm not going to eat it.
Don't eat it. Keep quiet. So you don't like mustard. Why don't you tell me that in the first place?
Well, I don't like it because it makes me sick.
All right, so you don't want to
get... I don't want to walk around the street sick.
I don't want to see you sick.
I mean, after all, I'm a happy kid.
I know.
I love life.
I know you do.
I got a lot of friends of mine. I got little nieces. I got three little nieces, and I help to support those three little nieces.
Well, forget about it.
If I walk around the street sick and I can't go out and get any work and get any money to give my sister for the three kids, what's going to happen?
That's going to make a
difference. My three little nieces, they're going to starve to death. They ain't going to eat. Somebody's going to take those three kids and put them in the orphanage asylum.
You're making this too serious.
Well, why you got to put my three nieces in the
orphanage
asylum? What have my nieces ever done to you? Well, come on, I've been getting out of the orphanage
asylum. Now, enough is enough.
After all, I'm able to support them. Did you got no right to put them in the orphanage asylum? Do you know where mustard comes from?
I don't know. Mustard plaster. I don't know.
Not a mustard plaster. They manufacture mustard.
Well, not that.
Do you know they spend millions of dollars every year just to put up factories to manufacture mustard? Do you know those factories employ thousands and thousands of men just to manufacture mustard? Do you know those men take care of thousands and thousands of families all on account of mustard? And you, just because you don't like mustard, what do you want them to do? Close those factories down and put all those people out of work?
Are you trying to tell me that all those people are making one little jar of mustard like this just for me?
No, you don't see the way.
Are you trying to tell me that those thousands of people are making one jar of mustard just for me?
I didn't say that.
Well, if they are ready, you can tell them not to make it anymore, because I'm not going to eat it. You can lay them off.
Lay them off.
Who am I to support thousands of people?
Who's asking you to support?
I can't even get the three little nieces out of the orphanage.
Now, stop that again.
I ain't gonna eat mustard for you and nobody
else. Close the mustard factories down.
Close the mustard factories down is right. I like ketchup.
Put the people out of work.
I'm not putting anybody out of work.
Father's out of work. Husband's out of work.
I'm not putting any husbands out of work.
You don't even know what a husband is.
Yes, I do. A husband is what's left of a sweetheart after the nerve has been killed.
Postmodernists, it's time to meld the metaphysical and the mundane once again right here. The Cthulhu Chronicles. Correct, Philosophical Entertainment, Relevant Irreverence, Netarati, Couple Service, Netaholics, and Infomaniacs. Time to be curious yellow once again. Y2K plus 13. Head now. Right?
Bingo! 球到冰球，小村到大市，啊，咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心，系 Cthulhu Chronicles。
From ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to sea, from Othello and into every bordello. Once again, I approach the mic, and with the, as a homo erectus, I'm a homo erectus. My parents, your parents, their parents, and their parents are home. It's just that, you know, you got a vague idea. I get a vague idea what we're going to talk about at any given time, and try to know that a day ahead of time. And then it goes into all places that it might go, and into rabbit holes and down sidebars and up the lazy river. But wherever it goes, the point is that have a starting point. But then other things happen between the time there is such planning and then the actual launching? No, what's the word I'm looking to find? The actual constitution of the program. It's not the word. Actually, to do it, and I'm homo erectus. This has been sticking in my head since I watched Scott Pelley on the CBS Evening News, as I try to do every night, if I'm not, every weeknight. And sometimes I fall asleep on Scott. This is a public apology, Scott. It's not you that I fall asleep. Because I don't fall asleep because of you, it's because I usually carbo load around dinner time. And I sit there and I watch the CBS Evening News. And it's amazing too, with all the things that there are to watch. You watch CNN News, the NCN, the FOX, the SBC, NBC, ABC, all the stuff you can watch. There's CBS, the regular network news. And that's what I'm doing. I'm watching Scott Pelley in the CBS Evening News. And even more absurd than that is that I have memorized what Scott Pelley says at the very end of the news, the last things that he says on that news. And I hope that I'm awake so I could say it with him. He says it and I say, I'm alone in a room. There's nobody there. And I'm watching. If I'm awake when he signs off, I'm talking with him. And I have no reason for this at all. There is no reason for this in any, I am not practicing anything. I'm not trying to impress anyone. I just have I get a little jolly, a jolly thrilly out of saying with Scott Pelley the last words that he says every night on the CBS Evening News. But tonight I'm watching the CBS Evening News, and if you're listening to this we're not live, we are live, I mean, we're always live, you're listening to it when it's recorded, then it's not this evening, and I'm watching the CBS Evening News, maybe you've heard about this, maybe you saw it on your CNN or your CNBC or NBC or Fox or your Fox BC or whatever it is, maybe you saw it, I don't know, but they found a skull in somewhere in Russia, and they found this skull. We're talking about the skull of a human, not a homo erectus. A homo erectus. Now, they knew about homo erectus, but the whole idea behind evolution, which has never really been, there's no exactitude to the factitudes of evolution. They just, you just know it's gone along. And of course, all you people don't believe in the evolution or reality in itself, get out of the room. Here's the deal. They find this skull, and the skull is of a homo erectus. Now, we knew of homo erectus. I knew of homo erectus. You knew of homo erectus. We've all heard that. Some of us have heard it and thought it was something else. Or maybe we made jokes about those two words, homo erectus. Okay, but there's nothing funny about Homo erectus, because this is a million and something years old, this skull. A million and something. Now, it's skull number 5. They found 4 others, but the 4 others were not Homo erectus. There are other kinds of homos. So here's what happened. The Homo erectus that they found, that they knew about, is going to change the entire idea that they didn't know the Homo erectus was that old. And that means that if they thought, they being the people who study these things. So look into old bones and old things that are buried, because why would they not be buried? What would they be doing? On display somewhere? They are. Once you pick them with the buried, they dig them up. So they thought Homo erectus wasn't that old. Now, if Homo erectus is the oldest skull they could find that bears a resemblance to the species, the mankind species, which, of course, you and I belong to now. I couldn't say belong to. I'm leaving to. Just leave that. Leave those dangling words out there. Finish the sentence, for God's sake. So, because, you know, what kind of a Homo erectus would I be if I couldn't finish the sentence? You know, a lot of Homo erectuses out there that are not finishing sentences. They're saying, that's the way it was. Was what? Okay, we're not going to get into that now because that's language. But we wouldn't have language if it were not for the Homo erectus. Now, the Homo erectus that they found is so old that now they're saying, oh my God, and there's nothing to do with God, because these guys are not like the religious. They're religious. Then they'd think about, you know, they'd go to the Eden story and the fact that when man was created, according to certain religions, not just the certain religion, when man was born or created, he already knew language, and that language was English, because that's what they wrote down. I don't know what language he's. Nobody ever says that too either. I remember growing up, and I was a Catholic. They were telling us about the Bible, and they're telling us that that these guys were speaking English. We're just little kids. What do we know? We think they speak English. We think they're white. So they tell us about the Garden of Eden, and they say, "Here's Adam," and Adam is speaking. He's talking to God, and he's speaking in English. And now we're kids. What do we know? Do we have any idea that it's just about it's improbable? No, we know it's a Homo erectus who doesn't even have a language. Okay, and that's not it. If you look at that Adam and Eve story, you don't find a Homo erectus in there. So here's what happened, and they found this thing, and now they're thinking that evolution began with Homo erectus, and that all the other things, all the other skulls, all the other forms of man, which have developed throughout the decades, eons, and centuries, and however they were counting back then, they came from Homo, everything came from Homo erectus. Everything came from Homo erectus. Now, a number of years ago, I don't remember what number, but it wasn't that long ago, we did a show on Genghis Khan and how modern civilization is pretty much all related to Genghis Khan and through DNA and stuff, because the world was clear to people and then more people came, and Genghis Khan and his gang were out there making them, okay? So you really have, I know you don't want to believe that because you don't want to start putting up, pictures of Genghis Khan in your, you remember Genghis Khan in your bedroom. You don't want that. It doesn't make you feel very, hello, you have mail. So what am I getting at? I'm blown away by this Homo erectus thing. And so now, that just threw me. And I said, well, how am I going to connect this to what I was actually going to talk about, which has to do with, and then I realized that this does have something to do with what we're going to talk about tonight, because this afternoon, whenever you're listening, because it has to do with the things that the templates that we have in our heads of people in terms of what they are, who they are, where they come from, what they look like, okay? And how, like, being a kid and growing up in a Catholic atmosphere, and priests are teaching you and they're telling you that, you know, there's white men are running around with, there's no white men, and they're, you know, all these things that they never even questioned it. I'm not calling them liars, even if they were liars. They don't know. They didn't question it. It was stupid. So now, and then all the smart people are out there finding the Homo. Now we found a Homo erectus. I'd like to go back and tell Father McLaughlin, and I know he's not listening. He's probably dead. If he was listening, I wouldn't even care. Why would he be listening to me? I don't even know. But I'd like to go back there and tell him what I think. You know, I mean, I feel smarter than him and all of them right now. This is what's happened to us who have grown up from that era. Now, not all of us in my generation, and you know how I feel about my generation. I'm scornful. I'm critical. And when they're not all that smart. They're not all this smart. It's all about getting smarter, as smart as you can. And so now we take with us these incredible bits of information that are constantly, more than ever now, are coming into our brains. And we should understand the kind of things that we know now, that imagine if you knew, if you felt the same way you felt when you were like 8 or 9, playing with toys. Okay. And that brings us to what goes on here. There's all these subconscious things that go on that we say. I say homo erectus, homo erectus, homo erectus. And a lot of you people, now maybe not you people, but you know, a lot of people would immediately, I heard laughter here in the studio when I said it over, homo erectus. Homo, see, they're laughing back. They're laughing at me. Homo erectus, because we think of these stereotypes, these things that make us laugh, and different kinds of people and stuff. But what I read this week in Wired magazine caught my attention and made me realize that we really have to start. Well, I don't know. We don't have to do anything, actually. But I'm saying this is fascinating that this stuff would still exist. And if you want to think about all the things. It really opened up a whole world of thought for me, as most things do. And then I stop and I have a sandwich, and I do various things that normal people do, because I am. But I am, and I have been, and I hope I always will be Frank Atolo, the man whose name adorns the title of this show. And I'm here on Y2K plus 13 as we wean ourselves off of 2013. And that's a fascinating thing already. That is happening, and it's getting very dark, very early, and of course we have to wait. And that's just a metaphor for everything else. Wake up, it is night. I feel extremely safe tonight too. I'm saying tonight too. I feel especially safe because I know who has my back, because he's actually in back of me, and I know that were that assassin that I feel is out there for some. I don't want to say I'm paranoid or anything. I know someone's out there. I know if that person, if there were a person, even though I wasn't paranoid, if there were a person who were to get through the closed area there and come and with a gun, I know that Raul would be there to stop that bullet, because that's what he's trained to do. He's one of the superior homo erectuses. One of its homo erecti, homo erectuses. So I am happy to say my bodyguard Raul is here, right behind me. Do you know there's a movie called Eating Raul? Did you ever see that movie, Raul?
Someone told me about that.
Huh? Someone told you about that? You were on a bus or something? Was it a bus? Or was it a tank? Maybe.
A bus?
No, it wasn't a tank. And Raul, if you don't know it, if you haven't been here long enough to know many times, is a member of the United States Air Corps. No, you're not an Army. It's the regular Army. It's the regular Army. And do you realize how much stuff you have to carry on you if you go to a foreign country to fight?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
What, don't you think that's going to... Are you going to be warm?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. And the other guy looking at me to my left is the closest thing to a co-host we've ever had on the show, Mr. Jeremy Long. He would not take a bullet for me. But that's okay. I'm not asking people to take... I'm not asking... But on the other hand, five fingers. He's also homo erectus. And he laughs, you see? See? We got to get some serious stuff into him so that he could get funnier. That's the whole thing. The key to getting funnier is to know the serious stuff. Jeremy Long is with us, and he's just back from some one of these ridiculous things where old people get together, they dress like the Three Stooges, and they jump around. All right? No? What is that?
Comic-Con.
Comic-Con. Dun-dun-dun. What? Were you at Comic-Con, Ro?
Yes, I was.
You was what? Yes, I was there.
Sorry,
okay.
Yes, I was there at Comic-Con.
I got it. I know. He's not even listening. You know what he does? He actually had his earphones on. He was with his phone. He's listening to something else. He's listening to 60 minutes. The 60 minutes sports. Is that what you're listening to? What are you listening to? Huh? You're not watching porn on there, are you? Because huh? No, you shouldn't be, because we could all do that together later. We don't want to do that. Well, you know how many people must, like, this show comes on, they're sitting around, the show comes on, they go, oh, forget it, I'm going to watch porn. I'm not listening to this crap again. You know, those are real homo erectuses, aren't they? Jeremy's also back from New York. You want to tell us anything? Because a lot of people, certainly I'm not one of them, are interested in what happened at Comic-Con. Out there, there must be people. Why don't you tell, what did you do there, aside from wait for people, personalities, and take pictures with them?
Pictures with really
Yeah, there's lots to do besides meeting celebrities. They have the showroom floor, which has tons of exhibitors who are advertising different things that are coming out or selling different things.
And comics, selling book things.
Selling archive comic books and other collectibles. And people, you can test out new games that are coming out and things like that, and other pop culture type things. They have panels for certain things where it's like you go in, you can sit down and watch advanced screenings of stuff and find out new things that are coming out before anybody else.
There's some pictures. Hey now. Were there Hey Nows? Raul just sent, of course, Raul would give me a picture on his phone of two Hey Nows. What are they, Huns? What are they dressed
as? Lots of cute girls dressed up in different...
The girls are dressed up. What are they dressed? Who's that? Vampira. There's a Vampira girl. Now, these girls that are... Look at this. Where was this? At Madison, the Madison Square Garden? Or the where? Where is this?
Oh,
look at that hall.
Javits Center.
Javits, named after who?
Jacob Javits.
He knew. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you that you knew that. I know you didn't know.
Yeah, I did.
You did know Jacob Javits?
Yeah, I did.
You're a little boop.
I think he did.
Let's rewind a little Jacob, bit. You ask him the question.
Jacob Javits. Certainly. Okay. And this is. Did you meet her? There's someone who dressed as Vampira, the famous vampire girl from those TV shows. Fairly Odd Parents. I remember my kids used to watch that. Great. Fairly Odd Parents. Fairly Odd Parents. One of them's dead. The other one's not. That one? I know the song. I remember the song. This is who? Who are these?
Wanda and Cosmo, his godparents.
These are just random people that Raul decided to take pictures with, and they were cosplaying as different characters.
Now, the cosplaying, of course, when Dana was on, we talked a lot about cosplaying. Costume play. It used to cost a lot of money. It's costume play. Isn't that called role? Role playing? Costume play? What? Here's more. He's showing me more. This is great because I can't now. I'm seeing all these pictures. No one else can see these pictures, and I'm looking at them. Let me explain to you. This is a guy playing. Yep. He's playing the guy who played Cranston, the guy who played in Breaking Badly.
And there's his meth.
Bless you. He's playing the guy. So they have guys who dress up like guys who act in these things.
You had a request to talk about Xena.
Talk about Xena.
Who's the warrior princess?
Xena. Oh, remember? I remember when my kids were young, we used to watch Xena.
Did you?
Always Xena. Now there was no doubt about. Yeah, we used to watch Xena. The
warrior princess, right? Xena the warrior princess.
What was her sidekick's name? That little blonde girl.
I don't remember.
Remember that one? No, too young for that, huh? No. Raul, what were you? Two?
Three.
I was off by a year. Anyway, we're going to get into what we're going to talk about. Then it has a lot to do with this, in a sense, too, because stereotypes and are built into a lot of things that kids are looking at, dealing with, associating with, identifying with in their lives. And I don't think that people, well, for instance, I saw a documentary about a kid who shot his father dead. This is serious. Now, this is not the beginning of a joke. I know you're looking at me. I know, because Jeremy always looks at me and he goes like, all right, what's the punchline? I'm waiting. It's about white supremacists or Nazis, neo-Nazis or people Nazis, kids who are the fathers and mothers are Nazis. I mean, this happens. I mean, this is going on in the world. And eventually the kid, okay, that's not what it's about. It's not about, well, it is what it's about, how the kid eventually gets so hateful, literally backfires on the father, and he kills him. But the deal is that kids are growing up in the various atmospheres, and of course they have their parents, only the parents. They have television. Now, today they have a lot of other things, but a lot of influences around them. But, you know, kids play with toys, and I don't want to make this about when I was a kid, how things have changed, because they really haven't changed that much. And that's what this article told me about, because the people making toys now used to play with toys, and they had parents, and they grew up, and they heard various things about various groups' opinions about different races. I don't know anybody who grew up and their father said, look, it doesn't matter. I know Tonto and the Lone Ranger are walking around out there when I'm watching the show. I know that Tonto's an Indian, and the white man took over the Indian Muslim, but they're both really Homo erectus. And that just didn't happen. See, and that's what I would tell my children. Okay, but what people should be saying. And the toys that you're playing with are all built into the toys you're playing with, believe it or not, even today, is subliminal messages of hate, discord. Did I say discorn? What am I saying? Disgust, hate, intolerance. What else are we talking about? Confetti? No, it starts with, come on, give me these words. Come on, do I have to open up a thesaurus or what? What is it? Come on. Was there ever a thesaurus? You know what? That's what I didn't like about Jurassic Park. There was no thesaurus. Okay, so let's look at what the... You want to use that one? Go ahead. Write it down. Take it with you. You use it somewhere else. What was that?
$5 for the joke.
Yeah. All jokes are
$5. $5. You know that, right? You heard that. $5. You can own this. He saw part of it. Of course, we're still waiting. I haven't even seen this documentary yet, Mr. It's 10 hours long. It's like a series. It's like a mini series. Is that what we got now? A mini series?
You could call it a two-part PBS series.
I'm disturbed. I tell you why I'm disturbed. Because Ben-Hur was 4 hours. When I was a kid, we went to see Ben-Hur at the Lowy's Capital or whatever it was downtown. This spectacle of a movie. You got Charlton Heston. You've got Roman armies. You've got ships out shooting. You've got Jesus Christ. You've got all this stuff going on, right? Lepers. Gladiators. I mean, wait, you know, that's what really made the movie. The lepers and the gladiators, not the saviors. There was only one savior. That was a Jesus guy. But anyway, and they all spoke English. That's crazy, isn't it? And they're all white. That's nuts, too. Okay, but right? It was 4 hours. It was the first movie I ever went to see that had an intermission. An intermission in a movie, because she used to go to a movie. Yeah. And sometimes you go to a double feature. It was 1.5 hours, 1.5 hours, or 60 minutes, or 60 minutes. It was 2 hours. So now you're telling me that you have made a documentary on me that's as long as Ben-Hur.
And guess what? It's just as good as Ben-Hur.
Oh, now he's doing it. Was the ground cold this morning, Jeremy? What?
Kissing that.
It has an intermission, too, just like Ben-Hur.
Would be good. Intermission. We should have done that.
Movie I saw that had an intermission in it? It's a mad world.
You're right. There was an intermission in that. That was a very long movie. Yeah. Did you say enough mads or too many mads? It's a mad world. See?
It's only four?
Yeah, it's only four. Mad world. In France, the girls wear panties, but on lamb chops they put scant... Oh, no, they're scant... Oh, something like that. I'm telling you it's a mad...
Knockoff, the rat race. Isn't that like a cheap knockoff?
What is the rat race?
Oh, you never saw a rat race?
Oh, I saw a movie called The Rat Race, but it wasn't about... You're talking about a newer movie.
It was like early 2000s when it
came. Oh, yeah, I'm not talking about that. There was the rat race. Oh, it was, I think, Frank Sinatra.
I don't know.
Yeah, right. So, anyway, we're going to go into this. You know what? We won't sell books. Let's just go right into this and see what's going on. You guys have something to say. If you guys have something to say about this, but don't take your eyes off the possible gunman who might be coming through the door, right? We don't pay you to protect me if you're not going to protect me. You're sitting there with your Comic Con porn. Do they have porn comics there?
Yeah.
Do they really? Yeah, no, I know there's a certain, what do they call the ones that really go, not the ones that are actually pornographic, but the ones that have, I don't think they have a name. I don't think they have a name.
XXX?
No, I don't know. I'm trying to. Oh, he knows all of them. Let's just talk to Raul about them.
Can I say something?
Sure, you can.
At Comic Con, there was a girl who was wearing nothing but shrink wrap. Yeah, it was wrap.
Shrink wrap. She was naked.
You mean the stuff that bubbles, the bubble wrap thing?
She had nothing on, like food wrap that you wrap food with. She just had layers and layers of that.
And who was she? Who was she portraying? What was she portraying? Leftovers? You don't know. You didn't ask?
No, I didn't.
You weren't. You weren't interested. You were just.
Was too busy taking.
Do you have a picture of her?
No, I deleted them.
What? What do you mean you deleted them?
I didn't even take pictures of her. I just admired from afar. I was like, oh, I wish I had a box cutter because then I could just go cut her.
Why didn't you go closer and ask her what the hell are you doing?
Because I'm shy.
Are you a shy guy?
Not at all.
Not at all. I didn't think so. Anyone who wants to get one of those automatic weapons that they give you and actually blow the organs out of people is definitely not a shy guy, right?
That's true.
But we're going to get back to that. Ro will be here. If you guys have anything to say, but I'm going to talk about, I'm going to go into this article. As you all know and may know or do know or have known, I'm a big fan of Wired magazine because I think that Wired, I actually used to literally get it, like the hard copy, and it's still in a home. One of the rare magazines that's in a hard copy. I'm not doing an ad for it now. I'm just saying that it's one of those cutting edge magazines because it deals with everything through the eyes of the Hallelujah Trail. So there's this digital, the digital eyes, and this is how we have to look at all things. This actually might be the current the Life magazine of today might be Wired. And there's so many articles. You can get it online. It's free. So I wouldn't call that an advertisement. So go along and get that. Should I do, you know what? Maybe I'll do this first, and then we'll get back. I should do this because it, and then we'll get back. Then we're going to take a break at the hour and so that we could all dispose of some bodily waste. So everybody to replenish your precious bodily fluids. In order to do that, of course, not replenish your precious body. You'll never do that. Get yourself some beverage, and we will. What happened to that thing? I'm probably in the wrong area, aren't I?
Which one?
I think I am. I am. Then we'll get back to talking about this this particular article. Those of you who went to the blog, CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, saw a Lego figure. And that's what prompted all of this. And there is some, there's going to be some, there'll be connection to it. You'll understand what we're talking about. And think about it. Write it down. Get out your notebooks. We'll be right back.
Juiced Talk Radio. It's juicy. JuiceTalk.com. Here, Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies, and they only got together to make like one a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time. Okay.
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything going, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the artist D.
You bring this out of me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows.
And I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky Escapades. Parallel Universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
Speaking of that, we have Tom Savino. We'll be back here next week for a Cotolo Savino Chronicles. We have no idea what we're going to be talking about, but we'll figure it out. Tom is probably reading books or doing something that will bring up a fascinating, if not serious. Another thing I love talking to Tom, and I always have loved talking to him, is that even when you talk about serious stuff, it just doesn't get pretentious. because Tom has a great sense of humor. And if you know me, it's all I am is a sense of humor. I have no sense of anything else. I have any sense of love. I have any sense of dedication, of loyalty. I don't have any sense of anything. There's a sense of humor because it's all funny to me. And that includes you, the listener. So Tom Savino will be back at totalchronicles.blogspot.com. And we're Twitter me, although there's a lot of things you might not want to see on my Twitter. And I'm not talking about those nude pictures or anything. I'm talking about just stuff that's related to another incarnation of myself. It's not an incarnation, actually. It's still carnating. So, but at Frank Cotolo, you're bound to get a jostle or a jokel here and there. Also, my Mr. Jeremy Long, MD, is the funny stuff. Although once in a while you do what your generation does too. You just put those things up there that, you know, you're talking to somebody about something. There's a hashtag and three @s. I have no idea what you're talking about. Only two people know what's going on. But that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be a one-to-one communication thing, this Twitter stuff. One to a group, not necessarily one to everyone. And here's what?
We were just told who Zena's sidekick is.
Hold on.
Gabriella
was
Gabrielle.
Someone. You know. You can all participate in this show somehow or other. You know, to write it on Twitter, or you could wherever else you're now
hashtag
connected. What is hashtag? Are we doing hashtag Cotolo Chronicles? You could, yeah.
That way, hashtag. Just search hashtag Cotolo Chronicles, and we'll see if anybody's asking any questions.
Yeah, hashtag Cotolo Chronicles. Okay, let's do that because that's what everyone's doing.
Hashtag,
and there's no reason.
You guys suck.
Hashtag you guys suck. No, he said that. I didn't say it. I said I'm not going to take you seriously. You're humorous. That's not sucking. Although, actually, you could use the term suck for almost anything. I remember when you could, if you had said the word suck on radio or television, I mean, you'd like lose your job. At one point, you couldn't even say the word suck because it always had a reference. But here's the deal. As somebody, a guy named Chris Power Pig McVeigh.
Wow.
The guy has his name is Power Pig. And that's there's a nickname I'm sure glad didn't stick with me, huh? Power Pig. I didn't know it didn't stick. I mean, I didn't get it. Nobody ever gave it to me, but I'm just saying, I'm glad nobody ever said Frank Power Pig. Power Pig. Here's an astounding fact, and this has to do with the subliminal way that people address prejudices. That's the word I was looking for before. I didn't start with CON. I don't know what I was thinking. I was probably getting a little nervous because Raul was looking at me strangely with those deadly eyes, those beady eyes, those shark eyes. No, it wasn't that at all. I can't even see. Just stay back there, Raul, and
I'm protected.
Yeah, and you know, if you have something to say, we'll offer you the mic. It's okay. But listen to this. Power Pig McVeigh found this astonishing fact, and this comes from I didn't get the author's name, but it comes from Wired Magazine. Legos. You know Legos? In my bedroom, where my children come to play with their toys. Okay, these, every once in a while, what comes through me is a quote or something, because I'm a creature of the media, I guess. Legos, my kid had Legos. They were just, they had these little stupid, I think this, I'm doing a little editorial here now, little plastic stupid things that don't have legs or arms. They're just these weird, but as time went on, these very innocuous little creatures, and Legos weren't always people. They weren't, as a matter of fact, before there were people Legos, there were just Legos. You build things like,
yeah.
And when I was a kid, we didn't have Legos. We had like erector sets. We had real metal things.
Tinker
and
toys.
No. Yes, we did have Tinker Toys.
Yeah,
you're correct.
Yeah, yeah.
We did have Tinker Toys. We had Lincoln Logs.
Yeah, Lincoln
Logs. Lincoln Logs. And things like that to build houses or whatever you wanted to build. And we had these little bricks. These had bricks. What else? What did you have? And see, you're young though, but you had these. You had Lincoln Logs?
I had Lincoln Logs and Tinker Toys before I had Legos.
Wow. What did you have, Raul? Because you're what? How old are you now?
20. I'll be 22 in a month.
Oh, you'll be 22. So you guys are the same age. What did you have? What toys did you have? Because you were Mexican in Los Angeles. You probably had, like, what? Switchblades? And. and exploding tacos. Did you see that commercial with them? You see that commercial where they go, "Your food is killing the giant taco." The lady hits the giant taco with it. With it. You see that? I love that. I love that. What did you guys have?
Actually, grew up with a white mom, so we didn't have that.
Now you see, there it goes. There it goes. See, now it said, "Grew up with a white mom." We do this. We can't help but do this. We can't help but do this. It's to describe people based on who they are, what they have.
How I grew up.
I was talking about toys. I said toys, and you said you grew up with a white mom.
I grew up with a white mom, too.
I grew up with a purple mom. So.
Oh, wow.
Toys. What were the toys were Mexicans playing?
I played with Legos, Hot Wheels.
Okay. Played with hot Legos?
No. Sometimes Barbies, you know.
Yeah, I know. See, that's what I meant. That's what I meant.
I had clothes on, though, so.
Wow, what? It's a one-track mic. Do you want to see the girl dressed in saran wrap? It's like that. You know what would be great? It would be great if that girl had, she was dressed in bubble wrap. That would be like performance art. And people would come, you know how you like to bust the bubbles? Imagine she's dressed only in people come popping the bubbles. Why don't they get somebody to do that next time at this Comic-Con or whatever it is, Con Air or whatever it is. Everybody gets conned at the Comic-Con.
I always hated stepping on Legos.
Oh my god.
Oh, what the? Whoever said childbirth was the worst pain a human can endure, they clearly never stepped on a Lego before.
Yeah, you know what's even more painful? If you ate one, passing a Lego is even worse. It's like, that's worse than
Oh, man, I did that before. Right. It was bad.
Pass a Lego. That's like really incredible.
Kidney stone, but like 10 times worse.
Worse than a kidney stone. But here's the deal.
Only in the Cotolo Chronicle studio would 3 out of 3 males have passed Legos in their lifetime.
I never passed a Lego. No, I didn't pass one. But here's as Legos became more sophisticated in terms of variety of stuff, this guy said no to something. This guy, Chris Powerpig McVeigh. Who is he anyway? He works for Wired or what have you. I don't know. Anyway, he noticed this. Almost all non-white faces. Now remember, there's tons of now Lego figurines that are supposed to be Lego humans. You have Lego tractors, and then you have the people who run them. You also have your Lego characters. They do Star Wars Legos, and they make all the characters into Lego type, into Lego mold figurines.
The original Power Rangers, the one bad guy, Fartknocker.
Was that a Lego?
No,
you're just streaming. Your thoughts are just streaming.
It was a toy I had.
You had a what? What was it?
Toy. It was just a pile of poop.
It was a pile of poop.
Yeah.
That was a toy.
The Fart Knocker. It wasn't the Power Ranger. Like the first Power Rangers.
Well, that's more of what I thought Mexicans in L.A. would be playing. You see what I'm doing right now?
Racist.
Yeah, that's a racist thing. This is what I'm talking about here. How these things, you're just automatically, even when we laugh, when you know all the jokes we make about various types of people in the world are racist, that's what we do. And it's all based on certain facts. I mean, it's based on true things about that culture, okay? But think about this, because what I'm going to tell you about this guy, these subtle ways that these things are transferred into toys, and then and then the kids who don't have all these biases yet, these kids are playing with these toys, and they're picking up all the caricatures. Not characters, caricatures of different types of races and things. So listen to this. So Power Pig, and we don't want to say
Go Power Pig.
It's not like we're gonna. We don't want to label him, right? Power Pig says, listen to this. He noticed something, and he alerted all the people you are young boys. You shouldn't be yawning at freaking what? It's just, I'm not even 10 o'clock at night. You young boys are just sitting there going, "Hey, can we come to the show and sleep?"
It's
because
all the
shitty
food we eat.
I'm participating.
It's the food you eat, isn't that it?
McDonald's
and Taco Bell, huh?
Terrible food.
Listen to this. Almost all non-white faces of Lego figurines are scowling. They're not smiling. They don't. They're all look ugly and growling and rah, like rah. Now I want you to think about this. If you have Legos in your house, or you played with them, or you have a kid who's playing with them, go look and you'll see that. Now they say not, why we say non-white, I think Caucasian, and this is what's really weird too. I don't know if there are Caucasian faces at all in these Lego figurines. I think they're all, they're yellow, aren't they? Okay, the whites are the yellows,
like
okay?
The
you know, but, right, like, this, look at the Simpsons, they're yellow, right? There's an entire community of cartoon characters with jaundice, okay? It's amazing. I don't know how, but anyway, the yellow is the white, and we accept that, okay? That's normal. And then, you know, that's exactly what people would say, too. They would say, well, all the Simpsons are white. See, because white, yellow, or Caucasian equals yellow in The Simpsons. There's no white. If you're white, you're not, they're not, there are no whites. There's no whites. And right, and the Indians, and they're not yellow, are they?
No, yeah, they're actually.
You see? So here's the deal now. The faces, which are very little simple faces on these Legos. There's two dots. If you want to go to your smartphones now, and as you do, if you want to keep up with this, all you people out there too can do this. Not if you're driving, though. If you want to go to your smartphone and go to, what is that, go to Google Images or something like that and look up, you do this, go look up go look up Lego faces or Lego figures, lately, and you'll probably see all the figures, and we'll find some of these. Listen to this, and this guy says it's not Lego's fault. The writer says, listen to this. And you're going to listen to this. What else are you going to do? What are you laughing about now?
No?
Oh, he was choking. That's funny. It says here, the yellow-headed minifigure was a conscious choice. A conscious choice. This is Michael McNally, who's Lego's brand relations manager, said that it was a conscious choice, just like I imagine the Simpsons, the yellow was their choice to use anyway. Because of their ethnically neutral skin color, Lego people can be any people in any story at any time. That's his excuse. It's been that way since 1978, before you fellows were even born. That's amazing, huh? 1978. When third generation company boss, and his, listen to this guy, the guy, here's the Lego man. Who invented Legos? Anybody know? No one knows. You didn't know that. Kjeld Kirk Christensen invented the Lego man. Grandson of the company founder, Christensen grew up playing with the plastic blocks and always wanted a way to bring people into his plastic fantasies. Plastic fantasies. Now, remember, I said that before reading this, because I don't read these things before we go on the air. I said, and I meant it, because it's the way I remember it. Legos were building big. What's the matter? You're laughing. You found something? Legos were building toys and blocks and stuff. And then this guy, this kid, Kirk Christensen, wanted to put people in. Now, if you've gone to your smartphones and you've gone to did you find a couple of faces?
This is a black Lego. Hitman.
A black Lego hitman? It's supposed to be an African American hitman.
I never said hitman.
Black Lego man. Let's see.
Look, he looks very angry.
Look at this. Yes, there is. Right, he's got a scowl. He's like, oh, he's like Mr. T.
Yeah.
I'm gonna rip your throat off, right? Yeah.
So in Lego world, all black.
And look at the ones on top. They're not smiling either, are they? This guy.
Look at that one. He looks some kind of.
There's actually a pink one in there. Who is he?
I
don't know him either, but he's not yellow.
He looks pissed.
So we can assume that anything that's not yellow is not Caucasian, and that's what he meant. All the ones who aren't white are scowling. They're all looking. They're all mean. They're obviously the bad guys. That's the template for that. The bad guys. It's like when you wear a white hat and a black hat, and they used to say white and black, good and bad. Have you ever seen the movie Shane? Shane, the movie Shane. You've got to see the movie Shane, because George Stevens produced a movie and used the literary symbolic templates of good and bad. Jack Palance is the guy in a black hat. He's a bad guy, and he scowls. The white hat and the good guy, of course, wears light colors, because why would a good guy wear that? Symbolically, those are the colors, white and black, good and bad. And that, of course, as I mentioned last week, if you ever saw the movie Malcolm X, the time when the guy from Islam I think he was in Concon because he was in prison. What would prison con? What would Concon be? You know, go to Concon. That's where all the prisoners meet, right? Let's go to Concon. Let's go. Yeah, that'd be a great convention. All you people who've been in prison, go to Concon. In that, you do the Concon. Maybe you could do that in France. You have these guys and they're looking up the definition of black, which of course was bad, and white, which is good and pure and wonderful. All these symbols that get into, that mean stuff, because we as human beings, as Homo erectus, we understand this stuff. And this is what we see in general. So he says that the kid wanted to put, Christensen grew up playing with plastic, playing with those Legos. Now he took over the company. And he said, you know what? I'm the minifig. He called it a minifig. And he made it into reality. He said, from now on, we're going to put Lego people into the mix. So that this would create an entire community. It just would open up the entire Lego world. Because now there would be not just Lego. You know, it's stupid, too, if you think about it. The guy who invented Lego, even the guys who did the Lincoln Logs and stuff like that. Why were we building these houses? We didn't have anybody to put in them. We didn't have anything. We just had these empty houses to build. And imagine, look at this big Lincoln house I built. And we don't have a figure of Lincoln or a Lincoln guy or anyone from that era. We don't have anybody. When the same thing with the erector sets. Gigantic erector sets. You would make tractors. You would make cranes. Right? And who's running them? Nobody. There's no people. So this guy realized, he said, we're going to have a Lego world here. We need people in the Lego world. Okay, now you go ahead. He takes over the company. 21 years later, it's 1999, Lego produced its first Star Wars themed set. So it obviously bought the rights, licensed the Star Wars characters, and however, you know how that works. When there's a certain brand name or something, they license them to other people. They kind of pay a rent to use the characters and the names that are owned by the people who made the movies or whatever the case may be. If it's a TV show or a comic book, you could license the character. So in 1999, Lego produced something, though pegged to the release of The Phantom Menace. So this is like 1999 is way after, because obviously the first three were in the late 70s there. The Lego kits were based on the original trilogy, which is the ones I just talked about, the 70s, whenever it was, 80s. And your favorite characters were in full effect. Okay, so they had Darth Vader, Luke, Leia, and the whole bunch of them there, all rendered canary-faced citizens of Legoland. Canary-faced. Well, canaries are yellow, right? Is that it?
Did you play with Pet Rock when you were younger? Is that around when you were born?
They had no. Are you kidding? Pet Rocks didn't come until like the 70s.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And 60s. I wasn't playing. I was already almost grown in the 60s. Okay. I mean, I'm a kid of the 50s.
So you were.
I know I look younger.
You do.
I know, but
you were born in the 40s.
No, well, I was born in 1950.
Jeez. I have a $10 bill from the year you were born.
I have underwear older than you, okay? So how about that? he laughs, though. Hey, don't worry, it's washed.
Well, I want to see that underwear. That's what Raoul said.
1991, huh? Yeah, that's amazing. So let's not get into that. Let's get back here. So in 1999, they make this thing, and they're all canary-faced citizens of Legoland. What? What? You having your own little party over there or what?
No,
oh, he's listening to something. Okay, fine. Well, the Raoul show will follow immediately after we're done with the Chronicles here. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to come back. We're going to all take a little break. We're going to get back to this and talk about the canary face Legos. And then I'm going to get into some of the ones I'm going to start to talk about some toys from when I was growing up. And you'll see how this is not, it was even worse. It was worse, but it was there. It was, so things have changed, somewhat. But they still really haven't, because there's lots of things out there that are templates for racial stuff now, and it's just that, it's just the way it happened. I mean, nobody ever thought of anything, back in those days. But we had toys. I'm just talking about toys. And I'm talking about the general feeling and the generic talking of putting down people and stuff, or making fingers to. I'm talking about. Oh, you even have a Comic Con T-shirt. Did you get? Did they give you that for nothing?
This was back in 2011.
No, that was 2011. So we're going to talk about that, and you'll see how this was really, how this all came together. And I know we've talked about this before, because we had practically a whole show on the Amos and Andy stuff, you know, and all the stuff that was done with and the whole world of, we even went back to King Kong, the symbol, who was the symbol of the slave black brought, that's what that was all about, okay? We're going to, gonna talk to you about toys, which have that and still have that, and that's what the Lego thing is all about here. I'm Frank Attola. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. I'm the man who stars in the documentary called
Tenacity and Gratitude, the Frank Attola story.
Wow, Tenacity and Gratitude. I worked with them very many years ago, and that's why. No, they're not, either of them are in it. And I'm also the man who created and I do Cotolo Chronicles, and you might sit around, and a lot of people ask me, why do you do that? And I just don't have an answer. I don't know why I do it, but I'm here doing it, and because I want to be on the cutting edge of, and I have been on the cutting edge of the internet talk radio, all internet radio, not even talk radio. Let's face it, this is pretty much the end of life as we know it, and it's right here now. We're gonna go do your bodily fluids and do what you got to do. We'll be back after these words from whoever's talking this week.
Every mile in a city near you.
75.
Help us stop diabetes.
100.
Join the Tour de Cure.
60.
Register to ride.
36.
Or sponsor a rider.
50.
Call 1-888-DIABETES or visit us online at diabetes.org/tour. How many miles will you ride?
25.
Carbon monoxide is a colorless, odorless gas that can be fatal. Don't use anything indoors that burns fuel, such as gasoline-powered generators, camp stoves and lanterns, or charcoal grills. Opening doors and windows or using fans isn't enough. Have your vents and chimneys checked to make sure water heater and gas furnace exhausts aren't blocked. If you feel sick, dizzy, or weak while using a generator, get to fresh air right away. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky Escapades. Parallel Universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo. Now on Amazon for your Kindle.
Hi, I'm Julian Lennon. Are you in the band? Join me and band together for Lupus, to support the Lupus Foundation of America and its efforts to provide research, education and support for all people living with lupus. Visit lupus.org to learn more about this chronic disease affecting 1.5 million Americans and find out how to join the band today.
Hey girls, we know what's hot. When the guy respects a girl enough to ask and doesn't just try to make a move on us. We don't want to be pushed, pressured, or persuaded to have sex. We can make up our own minds. And when we say no, we mean no, not maybe or I need to be convinced more. It doesn't matter what we're wearing, what we've done in the past, or whether or not we said yes but then changed our mind. It's hot when guys respect our decision. If they don't and try to force groping or sex, it's illegal. That's right. Groping or sex without our permission is illegal. And any guy who tries to get away with it can get arrested for sexual assault. And that's on his record permanently. Hey, real men respect. And respect is hot. Respect! For information about sexual assault, log on to WCASA.org. That's WCASA.org. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault, the Wisconsin Department of Health and Family Services, and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
I want to tell you to do one thing, though, and if you'll pay attention to me, it might save your life. I want you to buckle up and live. Seatbelts and shoulder harnesses can be your second chance. Now, if you never had an accident, you could be next, because you gamble every time you get in your car. Now, you cut down the odds against you getting killed, you understand, by buckling up your seatbelt or your harness. Use them as advised by your car's manufacturer, and have your passengers use them, too. Automobile accidents can be deadly. Be sure you get that second chance. Buckle up and live.
Everybody's voting for the friendly voice of radio, the people's choice. Music, weather, sports, and news, it's radio. The people choose. Everybody's swinging to the swinging voice of radio, the people's choice. Big fry, small fry, dawn to dawn, it's radio that turns them on. Swinging, singing, a million sounds you want to hear. It's a landslide every year. Everybody's diving in the smiling voice of radio, the people's choice. East Coast, West Coast, in between, it's radio that makes us see.
Welcome back to the second hour of Cotolo Chronicles. I am not your co-host, Frank Cotolo. No, it is I, Christopher Walken, here telling you that I fully support what Frank Cotolo is doing. And now, back to the show.
Thank you, Chris. Christopher Walken, it's here for him. Christopher Walken, did you hear that? Raul, you back? Did you get your caffeine? Okay. You went, what did you get to drink?
I had Sprite in there.
Sprite is not caffeine. Sprite is...
Caffeine free.
Good for you. Well, good for you, man. Okay. We're back here, Y2K Plus 13. As I said, next week, Tom Savino will be here. Maybe Chris Walken will be back, too. And then we go, and we're actually going to have, not that this matters, but there is going to be a Thursday this month that is Halloween. That's the 31st. It falls on a Thursday. So that will, I don't know what we'll do or why that makes any difference at all to anybody. As usual, we're going into November. As usual, we will be on Thanksgiving evening because it's always a Thursday. And if it's always a Thursday, it's always Thanksgiving. It's always Cotolo Chronicles. Digest your big meal. Continue. Eat your extra turkey sandwich later on or whatever it is you do while listening to us live. We're here live on Facebook, Frank Cotolo. You can be my friend. A lot of people do it. They're sorry about it later, but it could always go away. You could block me, you can do whatever you want, but you could always be there. You could be my friend. I will accept you. I've been getting lots of very weird... Have you noticed that Facebook is once again being invaded by shamsters and real phony fake phonies. Those fake phonies. People, I don't know what they're up to, and I don't understand. I got a message recently from some, I don't know, Dina Dasco, I don't know what her name, some name, and it's a picture of some young girl in there, and she says, I saw your profile, and that's why I'm writing to you. There's a message, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you ever want a massage, call this number. And she gives me a number, and I have it, and I'm thinking to myself.
That sounds so appealing.
I know. I'm going. Now, anyone who's listened to any of these shows, we've actually had communications with a lot of the people trying to do these to do a lot of these scams. We've written emails back and forth, and I haven't even started to get her starting. But I'm noticing now. My point is, I'm noticing now that they're giving numbers. They're giving phone numbers. I didn't call that number, but I'm wondering, what are they doing when you call those? What is the number?
Can we call it live on the show?
If we went to my Facebook, maybe we'll do that next week. Maybe we'll do something like that with Tom. Maybe we'll try to get people. We'll gather all these numbers for all the, and I'm still winning millions of dollars over there. They're holding it for me over there in Africa. Millions of dollars they're holding for me. I won the English lottery a couple of times.
I let them hang on to it because I would lose it or spend it.
It's amazing, this stuff. And I have written and I have spoken. I have read on this show a lot of the replies that I've given to these people, because I don't just delete them. I write back to them. And sometimes I get very, very nasty, but it's funny. And someone told me that I threw out so many of them, but I should have saved all of them. What a book that would have made. Just these emails back to these scammers. But what I'm amazed about is that in this day and age, they're still trying to do something. I don't know what they're making. And I always try to figure out, what is the scam? Is the girl just trying to get me to some cam? Or is she, the ones where they have, you know what they do now? I know I'm off the subject here, but that's okay. Here's what they do now. They'll get a girl, they get guys. If you're gay or whatever, they want whoever. Somebody who's in another, they don't say they're in another country. They actually they find American places. And then they tell you to go over to Yahoo, and then you connect with them at Yahoo chat. And you go to the Yahoo chat and you connect with them. And you go, hi, hey, Marsha, how are you? Typing it. Hi, Marsha. Hi, how are you? Fine. What are you doing, Marsha? I'm going to school and I'm a part-time shoe salesman. They try to be real. I'm trying to be real because it's not a girl. You know, it's just some scammer, some guy. It might even be. And then she says, I'm trying to get through school. I tell the guy, where do you go to school? And she says, I go to school in the Philippines. And it's like, but it says your name is Marsha and you live in Allentown. It's like, what are you doing? It's like, what are you talking about? Oh, well, I do. I was born and raised in Allentown. I came here to school. Well, everybody knows that the best schools are available at college for American people are in the Philippines, and that's where they go to college. And then, of course, they try to get familiar with you. They don't necessarily offer you stuff like they don't talk sex or anything. They con you. They try to get your confidence so that they can say, oh, I'm having a hard time here. Could you send me $20 or $30? And then, they want to hook you up this. And that's easy. I keep them on the line. I actually told people that I sent them money and they should go tomorrow at 2:00 to the nearest Western Union where I sent them. I mean, I had them run them crazy because, they're just these little squirrely little skunk criminals, these little dingo scared little jerks. I know that doofus magoon that is sitting there trying to get like $20 and $30 from Western Union. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of different, but I've noticed, is what I'm saying, I noticed that Facebook is really, really getting a lot of, and I think if you just report them as scam, it's fine. And I don't understand, after all, how horrible I've been to all these people, how they don't have my name somewhere. So, look, don't get this guy. Don't call him. Don't write him emails or anything, because he's just going to, or they're having a good time with me.
Remember the people who called you trying to offer you free money?
That's right. There was the people who tried. I don't want to get you can't do anything. But I'm not getting racist. But it's like I don't gotta get racist. But it's funny because how these people, I don't know where they came from. Yeah, we talked about that. But Okay, so let's go back to this now, because we were talking about the Legos and how these, Christiansen. You know what? Christiansen. It's a form of Norwegian. It's some kind of Scandinavian.
Kirk Christiansen.
Okay, so here it is. Lando Calrissian. Is that the name of the Star Wars guy? Lando Calrissian?
Yeah.
He wasn't invited to this particular party, it says. He's not in one of the Star Wars Lego characters. But customers started reading more into the fact that he wasn't there. Okay? They asked, where's Lando? This is McNally, the guy who is the president. Is he president? He's the brand relations manager at Lego. So people are asking, where's Lando Calrissian?
Yeah.
Why isn't Lando Calrissian? You know Lando Calrissian? You know who played Lando Calrissian?
Harrison Ford.
No. You're not even a star. I mean, I don't even like it, and I know it. No. Okay, forget it. We won't go to that story. It was that guy.
That guy.
It was the guy who hated Diana Ross. And I told that story a long time.
Harrison Ford
plays Han Solo.
Oh, okay.
No, Calrissian is the guy from the famous African American actor. He's a famous African
American.
Denzel Washington. No, you kids are so young. I hate all of you. Okay, where's Lando? Okay, so where's Lando? Anyway, he's an African-American character because he was played by an African-American guy. So he's dark. He's black. He's a Negro, whatever you want to call him. So here's what they saw. They saw the yellow-faced Han Solo and figured that we had omitted Lando because he couldn't sport a yellow beard. Now, this got the company thinking, according to this. 4 years later, let's go slip ahead to... Wind ahead. What do you do? Wind ahead? Go. Anyway, 4 years later, in 2003, Lego acted. The Lego NBA series featured completely off-base representations of popular National Basketball Association players. Off-base with one exception. Some players were black, just like the flesh and blood ballers they represented. Ballers? Is that what we call them? Basketballers? Just like the flesh and blood ballers. But... Those NBA stars aren't worth much money today, they were an important shift in Lego's policy. Lego was actually making African-American women yellow.
Well, here's the question is, why did it take them 4 years?
Well, they didn't even realize that the Lando Calrissian, they didn't even realize this until they left him out. They licensed everything and they left that character out. So once people started talking about it and they realized what's going on. And you got to remember this, the people who are making epithets, and people who are doing or saying prejudiced things lots of times don't even realize they're doing it. They've been fed certain what people considered facts about minorities, and we are minorities, and just groups, I don't even call them minorities. They've been fed this stuff, and so therefore they accept it. In their consciousness, everybody grows up thinking Jesus was white, and there's no possible way Jesus was white. I mean, it's just not possible in this earth, in this history. Okay, and yet they've established, talk about Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur, the old Roman generals had English accents. Now, what is that all about? They didn't even. I mean, that whole Iberian area, nobody wasn't even touched at that time. Gaelic and that whole area. What was it? Gaelic? And did you get into no history? Nobody did history? Look it up later. You know what I'm talking about. British, what was that called, that whole area during the Roman Empire? The Iberian Peninsula, of course, was that whole Spanish part, and that was in Gaelic. That would be, there was that whole area that is now Great Britain and stuff was another, I forgot. Anyway, let's move on here. Okay, so this got the company thinking. 4 years later, 2003, okay, they did a National Basketball Association series. Now, I don't know why, I don't understand who would want to play with Legos National Basketball Association. Kids.
Why is that their solution to the Lando Calrissian debate? Like, why not just create that character? They didn't put him in. They just created an NBA series instead.
What's that, 4 years later? Yeah, they did that. Well, they didn't have the licensing. They probably had specific licensing for the characters. Maybe they didn't have him. So they put him in. But then it says, oh, but no, they did have him because they omitted him because he couldn't sport a yellow head.
Yeah. So why not just make a Lando character instead of just making a whole NBA series?
They just didn't realize that they were doing that. They were dealing with Caucasians, and then there was suddenly this Lando guy, and they said, like, well, we can't have one dark head. I mean, that's what they say. They went, well, nobody thought of that. It's like, why not? Why can't you? Yes, you're right. Why can't you? See? Okay, the 4 years later, they do that. Okay, from that point forward, from 2003 on, we started portraying characters for our partners' storylines as accurately as possible. In 2004, LEGO followed with another flight of Star Wars kits. These new sets featured characters from the prequels, including Jedi Councilman Mace Windu, whose plastic surrogate bore a strong resemblance to his celluloid cousin. Though one of the good boys, Mace, wore Samuel L. Jackson's stern expression. Now, that one that you saw, the one that you pulled up, Jeremy, that's, I thought he said, I didn't want to say it, because that would sound racial. That looks like Samuel L. Jackson. It is. It's like Samuel L. Jackson. If you're not familiar with themed Lego sets or the expanded universe, it's not hard to misinterpret Windu's scowling brown face as the cruel countenance of a threatening enemy rather than the battle-hardened visage of a legendary general. So they've made him into a very angry-looking African-American. Get those snakes off my plane! Get those goddamn snakes off my plane! That's a terrible No, a terrible movie. It was a terrible interpretation of Samuel Jackson. Get those snakes off my... I once did a list. What did Smitty say?
Billy D. Williams.
Yes, thank you very much. That is exactly who I was talking about. Yes, my Billy D. Williams story will remain... We couldn't even put that in the documentary.
No, just like
great guy, though. I'm not saying anything bad about Billy Dewey. He's a great guy. I hung out with him for a while. Okay, here we go. But, you know, when you put me on the spot and said, talk about all the people you hung with. Is it hung with or hanged with? I shouldn't be hanged with, shouldn't it? And all the celebrities. I forgot Billy Dewey.
I didn't put you on the spot.
Well, no, I mean, I'm always like, oh, God, I got to think of everyone. And like, just now I didn't think of Billy D. Williams back then.
There's plenty of good stories in the documentary.
It should be. It's 4 hours long, for God's sake. Okay. I hung out with Ben Hur, actually. Okay, so here it is, if you're not familiar with the, don't blame them. Now, direct your ire at California. Now, why does the state of California come into play? Hollywood has a well-defined predilection for white protagonists in big budget films, but most minority roles go to bad guys. Now, this is what I'm talking about. This is true. This is the template for good and bad when I was talking about white and black, and I was putting it onto literary symbolic terms, metaphors, allegories, allophores, and metaphors, all that stuff. And that's true. One particular example, how about this? The Indiana Jones movies, where Indy's globe-trotting exploits bring him into contact with a veritable rainbow coalition of ethnically diverse anti-heroes. And it's true. He's this white guy. And how whiter do you get? How much more Caucasian? How much more Nazi white supremacist do you get than a guy from the Midwest, the United States, who's named after his dog, Indiana, and it sticks, and his father's a professor. It's incredible. And I'm not now pointing the finger at George Carr, who's not his name, George Lucas. George Carr can't. And then what is that all about? George Lucas, because George, just like everyone else, has the templates in his head. And think about what George Lucas did. This is all neo-postmodernism also. He was directing his symbols at comic book characters and the old serials of movies. That's where Indiana Jones derives. He's born of those, and those are all from a time and an era when white was white. And for God's sakes, the only, as you've heard on this show before, the only zombies were blacks with big eye, white eyes. And, you know, that was it. That's, so that was the, that was a theater. That was the, it's kind of like, it were, there were roles, that were kind of, you know, Dick, was it Dick Gregory or was it, oh God, I don't know who it was now, but the other day, maybe it was that guy who does Lightning Hopkins on Don Imus. I forgot that comedian, the black guy is great. He does Lightning. Is it Lightning Hopkins? But he says, how come Hollywood only gives Oscars to black? He called them black. To the African Americans who play servants. Think about this too. The lady in Gone with the Wind gets an Academy Award. The place is like the first black person. And she was like Mama Aunt Jemima. She was like, you know, the Southern black, big, fat, typical, yeah, the typical template stereotype, right? And then he brought other ones. He said the lady in The Help, that movie recently, The Help. She got, and he was going like, what, this is a character. She pooped in the pie, for God's sake. She pooped in the pie. She got to get, but she, how about Morgan Freeman didn't win it, but he was nominated for Driving Miss Daisy. He was The Help. He was in it. It's like, it's true. These guys, obviously there were others. But I mean, it took a long time. So even Hollywood, considered by everybody in the Tea Party conservative constitution, bring back the old days movement, excuse me, considered the most liberal stinkers in the world, Hollywood. And yet, they're right in line with all the stereotypes and everything. I don't think anybody, there's not another industry that provoked or prolonged these stereotypes more than Hollywood in movies. You know? See, there's this tickle that's going down the left side of my throat, and I'm trying to get rid of it while I do the show and talk. Here, do the show for a second.
Okay. Where did you leave off on here? So it continues to say, if you're not familiar with themed Lego sets or the expanded universe, it's not hard to misinterpret Windu's scowling brown face as a cruel or threatening enemy rather than the battle-hardened visage of a legendary general.
You know, I don't want to say anything, but you mean like you, sometimes you read like you just learned to read. You were saying the same thing, right? In your head. Raul was sitting there going, oh, I thought Jeremy was smarter than that. See, Dick, Ron, Jane has the dog and pets. It's tough to read this cold copy. It's cold copy. Yeah, that's where we had already gone past that. See, we're talking about Indiana Jones. So try to stay with the programming. Okay, wait a second. So here it is. That's what I meant. That's what they said. Indiana Jones, in this day and age, is running around with the fighting. Look at all the guys he fights. They're all, you know, even the Germans, the Nazi templates. Okay, that's not to say there weren't mean white dudes in Jones' Adventures. There were. That's what I mean. There's Indy kicks plenty of Nazi ass. You know, I don't read these things, and I'm ahead of them. I understand that, see? But Power Pig, let's get back to him. We brought this up. You know, listen to this. Power Pig, this guy, he has more than 54,000 Lego bricks. Now, that's not so weird as the fact that he counted them. That's weird. And it comes out to an exact number. It's not 53,923. He's got 54,000.
He probably didn't have that much, but he went out and bought some extras.
He rounded it out. Oh, yeah. And he also has 541 little plastic dudes.
Is that the technical term?
That's the technical term up there in Lego. When the CEO and the men meet, they're just, oh, we're going to make any more little plastic dudes. You mean, wait a second, are you talking about LPDs? Yeah, that's what we call them, LPDs, little plastic dudes. Are we going to make any more of them? Okay. Oh, God. He estimates that 85% of his scowling minorities come from the 15 Indiana Jones sets. So That includes sour, listen to this, it includes sour-looking Arabs, fierce-faced Asians, and clearly cranky South Americans. Let's say that together. I love this. This is, ready? Includes, ready? Sour-looking Asians. Let's see, here it is. Let's together.
Sour-looking Asians.
Fierce-faced Asians. Oh, no, it's Arabs. I'm sorry. Sour-looking Arabs.
Yeah.
Fierce-faced Asians. And clearly cranky South Americans. You ready? Here we go. We're talking about sour-looking Arabs, fierce-faced Asians, and clearly cranky South Americans. All together now. Oh, sour-looking Arabs and fierce-faced Asians and clearly cranky South Americans.
Whoa!
That is fascinating. Christopher Walken. Let's see Christopher Walken saying that. Yeah, right here. Start from the south. Well, clearly, what?
Which
includes
sour-looking Arabs, fierce-faced Asians, and clearly cranky South Americans.
I don't know. Very good. Very, very good. The Prince of Persia kits. They actually had Prince of Persia. He was like a bomb movie, and they bought the license to this. Listen, based on the movie that's set somewhere in the Middle East, what was Persia? Okay. Wait a second. You're Mr. I'm going to Afghanistan. Come here. Don't you know the history of this? Persia was where? What is Persia now?
What do you mean?
What country?
Persia? Oh, I know this too.
I'll take Middle East countries for 200.
Is it Saudi Arabia? No.
No, it's Iraq.
Oh, it is.
It's Iraq. And remember, Istanbul was Constantinople, and Istanbul was Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the clerks. Yes. You don't know. You don't remember that. Huh? That's gone too. You kids, you guys got to get with the program. You guys got to get with. Hey, this is Cotola Chronicles. We're at 10:30 already. Right here on Cotola Chronicles, talking about this. It's incorrigible stream of racism that runs through all of us, and how it shows up in toys based on the fact that Power Pig looked at his Legos in a different light.
Yeah, I trust this guy.
So how many minority minifigures are there in Lego? Mr. McNally says he doesn't know. Nobody here has ever bothered to count because nobody cares.
Power Pig counts. But
Power Pig is the only one who counts. But nobody at the...
He's saying, why don't you count? I counted. Why can't you guys count?
Nobody cares at Lego. McNally does have one figure easily at hand, 4.5 billion. That's the global population of Lego people. There are 4.5 billion Legos in this world.
LPDs.
LPDs, little plastic dudes. Now, that's sexist. Because there aren't... Yeah, see? We haven't even gone there. We've just been doing nationalities, races. How about being... How about... Little plastic dudes, little plastic
dudettes.
What's the opposite? What is the opposite generic for dude?
Dudette.
No, there's no such thing as a dudette. Nobody calls anybody a dudette. What is if you're a chick?
Betty.
Who? Betty.
Betty.
On the website on this website I go shop to, Hollister. It's like Target's like in the 50s, and it says dudes for guys and Betty's for women.
Okay, I haven't heard that, but I'll buy that. That's good. That, Betty's. So you look that one up there. Betty's. So that would be LPBs. LPBs and LPDs. Little plastic dudes.
Like
little plain.
Like?
Yeah.
LPD. I like that. Little plastic Betty's. So he says that's the global population. If you counted the minifigure itself as an ethnic group, listen to this, it would be the largest in the world. The largest. If you counted... The LPDs and LPBs Legos,
wow.
It would be the largest single ethnic group in the world. So there's no more than 4.5. Not even New Mexicans. Not even New Mexicans have 4.5 million.
Really?
Not even that. I know, you know, it felt like that at the Alamo, but That's another. Was that a slur? Yeah.
My grandma had that many kids.
Your grandma had 4.5 billion kids? What do you mean?
My dad is one of 22 kids.
Whoa! What? You know?
He's the youngest of his oldest. His oldest sibling is in her 70s.
From the same woman?
Same woman. His parents were actually... His mom was born in 1920, and his dad was born in 1918.
So my dad was born in 1918. He's dead, isn't he?
Who? My grandpa?
18-year-old guy. The 1918 guy.
Oh, yeah, they're both gone.
Years ago. 22 children. And of course, you want to hear the racial joke for that? You want to hear the racial joke for that? Didn't Mexican? 22 Mexican children. Did they run out of names? Run out of names? No joke.
Two of them died in gang due to gangs activity.
Well, you know, forget about who they became or what. 22 children coming out of the same woman. None of them were twins or triplets or anything.
Nope.
He's a single. You do realize the 22nd kid. Has got to be, he's your dad.
He's 39.
Well, he's got to be the weakest of the entire brood because, you know, as a woman, this is not just a theory either. No. As a woman has children,
they were all women. He only had like two brothers.
Well, I don't know how that works. 20 women and two males.
Roughly.
It doesn't. I don't think the sex matters. I think the point. I don't know. Now I don't know what to say about that. I'm just saying that if women have children, the more children they have, the more the woman who is the vehicle of creating each one should be a little weaker. Each one should. What are you? What? What was that?
Wouldn't they get easier after that many kids? Like
the body. No, it's not easier births. Oh boy. I'm telling
you. Like Stargate.
Get this guy a bowl of Frosted Flakes and put him in the corner. No, really. There's a. Shut up. Do you have Frosted Flakes? We got kids here. Look at them. I can actually go for a bowl of Frosted Flakes. Forget about it.
We'll go pick
some
up.
Listen. We'll all just come back. Forget about that. That is. Forget about what I was going to say.
Come on over after the show. We'll be eating Frosted Flakes.
It's like Andy Kaufman would give out milk and cookies to the whole audience. And, you know, we did that once. He did that once.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, after that, everybody went over to some place and he bought them all milk and cookies. That's great, huh? So you're invited over for Frosted Flakes. Where was I? Oh, we were talking about 22 kids. I'm just saying that's a remarkable number of children for anybody. And that was 70 was the oldest. Who was the oldest? Was what?
I don't even know her. I've only met her like once, and I was like four. I don't even know her name.
Where did your father grow up?
He was the only one. That was an American citizen. They were all born in Mexico. He was born in Los Angeles.
So they had moved here by then?
Yes, they were all. My family is like all on the West Coast. I have like most of them are in Nevada, California, Texas.
Can I answer the question? They moved from Mexico when they had how many kids did they have? What part of the whole family? What history? What?
I think they were all actually born by the time they moved. Okay. They moved to my dad was born in 1972, I think. So, or 73 or something like that. But so they were all in this country but in the 70s.
You know, you had to rent, I mean, there's no way you have to rent a bus to take this family one bus to get
Partridge,
this family across
Mexican
the border.
Partridge family.
The Mexican Partridge. El Partridizo. What?
El Partridizo.
You see what we're doing? It's horrible. The man is right here. We're making epithets and epithets. No man. Let no man write my epithet. And here we are. Isn't it? What's the stuff you take to spit up? Epitaph? It's a lot of epithets. Epitaph, epithet, and epithets. That's the name of the show if we had to title it. So let's go back. Say hello to your dad for me next time. I'm sorry, in joke. I'm sorry. We're laughing at in jokes. It's just.
Wait a minute, though. I'm trying to still think. 22 kids. You know, the pregnancy is 9 months, right? So
What time span was it? How long?
I have no idea.
If.
I
don't know why you would ask. That's a big if. If she had the children one after another, just like boom, 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 9 months each, 22 times.
It's close to 22 years, obviously, right? 9, yeah. 18, 27, 36, 45 months. So you have, what's 9 times 22?
9 times what?
22. All right, you use your smartphone. Let's move on here. Now we're doing math. I can't do it either at the top of my head. I can't do it at the bottom of my feet either. I can't do it out of my nostrils or out of my ears. I just can't do it. What are you trying to figure out? It took a long time, that 22 kids. Don't worry about it. That's a long time. She was having children in her... When was her first child? How old was she?
I don't know.
Well, your father's only 39 now. How? What about your mother? How old?
My mom?
No, that's who I'm talking about. She had 22 kids, yeah.
My mom.
No, mine. How? My mom didn't have your kids. Your mom had your... How old was your mom when she had her first... How old is she now?
My mom is 42.
Okay, so she had to be... And you're the first...
20. 19 just turned 20.
You? You don't have 22 children? No. You're... Oh, that's why he was saying your mom. You're right. I messed up. I'm stupid. I'm the... I know. I'm the wop. I'm the wop guinea. I'm not... You're. I'm the wop guinea. You're the wop guinea screwed up that time from the Mexican guy. What are you if you're Mexican? You're top. What are you? You're Italian Mexican. Which one is Italian?
My mom.
And your father's Mexican.
Gotti.
So a Gotti? Yeah. You're not a Gotti from the Gottis. Okay, there's a lot of Gottis. Listen, let's go back. What are you anyway? Jeremy Long, you're one of the white. You're an Aryan. You're like a white Aryan, clear-blooded Nazi. You are. That's you, right?
Jeremy Long.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I know my heritage is strictly German. Like,
yep,
75% German.
So Long is probably not your name. It was probably what? Lung Kaiser. You will be doing jokes when you grow up, right? That kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the other, I know there's a bit of Irish.
Here's what, all right, that's enough about you. It says here, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, this is the writer now of this article.
It says,
I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I was definitely part of the Lego race, lending my voice and volition to countless lemonhead adventures. Lemonheads, little plastic tools or lemonheads. And given the opportunity, I'd play a little Mace Windu too, even though he's black and I'm white. Now, I want you to go in that bag and find my lightsaber. It's the one that says Bad Mofo on it. It's the end of the article.
Is that the end?
Now, the first thing I thought about, and I'm talking about now being growing up in the 1950s. So let's say I'm seven. That was the year that Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis broke up. Okay.
Dean Martin.
Look at me, Raul goes, Dean Martin.
Who?
Who? Okay. He's what? He's not. He's dead.
I know.
I was, of course I was alive then. Yeah, wow. Yeah. I got an age, I got some years behind me, pal. I had a toy, because in my days, you know, we didn't have videos, we had very few things that were like any kind of animated, everything was analog, moving parts and stuff. And we were very big on action figures, little action figures, cowboys and Indians and soldiers and stuff like that. I had a pirate ship, beautiful plastic pirate ship, and it had cannons, and you would pull the thing back, it could blow out little cannonballs and stuff like that. And there was a crew on it, and they were little plastic pirates that were, I don't know, they were modeled after whatever they were modeled after, I don't know what. And they were in, they weren't detailed. Okay, because detail didn't come till way later. Okay, but in the 50s, everything was kind of, it was really literally black and white. And these were all white. They were white, everything about them, their hair, everything. They had detail, but they didn't have color per se, okay? So they came out of whatever little rubber guys. Now, what we did as kids, me and a friend of mine also had the same toy. We used to come over, used to play. But we found that, you know what, we could make these figures, we could take these figures creatively. So we could take these figures, put them in other situations, so we could make them, like, fight Indians, if they, we could make them be cowboys, because they were great figures. So we could take them and imagine that they're other than pirates. So we did that. Now, here's what's fascinating, and I didn't even realize this until they started talking about the Lego guys, which of course made me wonder about us and how we grew up thinking about these stereotypes and how racist it all actually was, like the Indiana Jones thing, based on what we knew. We watched movies, so we saw cowboys and Indians, and we saw, like I said, zombies were black people, and all this stuff was put into our heads. And this is aside from anything political that our parents might have said that made us either afraid or somehow profile certain groups, okay? So aside from that. But here's what happened. We started, there were 12 of these guys that, in sets. So he had a set and I had a set. Now here's what, and this is, now may say this is innocent. This is not that innocent if you think about it. Because we took them from the pirate ship and started playing with them in other part, other areas, other theaters, cowboys, westerns, gladiator, whatever. Because we did that, we had to have a name for this group. So we said, and it was just automatic, we called them the white men. We're the white men. Get the white men. We're going to play. The white men were always going to be the good guys. The pirate guys, no matter where they went and what time era we fantasized or played with other, because we had other figures and things, we had dinosaurs, plastic dinosaurs, or the white men would be lost in the jungle. And we even had, you know, King Kong, with big gorillas would go out of their voice. But the white men, well, we were the white men. The white men were our heroes. And I never realized this until now, that there was something, even though they were white men, and they might say, well, it's pretty innocent calling them the white men because they're all white. And you're just a kid. What are you going to call them, you know? You're going to make up some convoluted, intelligent. You're not intelligent. We're stupid little kids. They're white men. And yet, they were always put into those particular situations. They were always the good guys, the white men that were fighting the monsters. And the monsters were always either groups of... Okay, so that was just what we did. That was, and we did that because our influence and our knowledge, as we did, of was all from TV drama and everything, and that's all the stereotypes. That's Hollywood and TV and everything else, which is anything but liberal. There's nothing liberal about that. It's all extremely conservative. So we had the cowboys and Indians. If you think about the the toys that were brought in, they are all the toys, all the characters. And I'm not just talking not the toys. I'm talking about the figures. All the figures from those days were stereotypically, they're built into that was all this racism that people talk about today. If we had, I had an Alamo. I had an Alamo set, of course, and of course all the guys, all the white guys, the Alamo guys, were David Crockett and the whole group there, those jerks there. And then there were, you know, and that was funny because there were always like 1,000 more Mexican, there were, you know, the Mexican soldiers, the Mexicans, there were thousands more of those because, and now that's historically correct. There were thousands upon thousands of Mexican soldiers, mm-hmm. and they attacked the Alamo. With a bunch of white Texas, you know, Ronald Reagan guys, John Wayne guys were there, okay? But they were the bad guys. One of the bad guys who were going after the white guys, even though it was, how do we say, their land, you know. And then you talk about the Indians, or you get your jungle stuff. You think about Jungle Jim. Think about Tarzan. Think about Tarzan also, who is a white guy, right? Who grows up with gorillas. And wants to be a gorilla. That's what he wants because he's grown up with gorillas, and he wants to be a gorilla. And he's raised by a gorilla. And this is what, now they changed this in the books. Tarzan was an extremely intelligent person, was built into him. And as he grew up, even being raised by apes, he was, He was erudite. He spoke well. They put him in the movies. He becomes an idiot because he grows up in the jungle with monkeys. Or how do we go? Now we go back to Homo erectus, right? Go right back to what they say, what people say. Oh, there's no way we came from apes. Became just because there are still black people out there, and they're, you know what I'm saying? It's like, aren't they? Wouldn't we all be black? You see what I'm saying? All this stuff was just went right into us, just like when we went to church and they said, you know, there's Jesus up on that cross there, that white guy with all the red blood on him, that's him, you know. And this all of this stuff that was fed into us was also in the toys. It was represented by the toys. And to see this going on here in the new millennium with Legos, to me, it just blew me away to think that what they did, and it's subconscious, but it's there. They made the white guys smile. Now someone like he did, he said, well, you know, they're villains, they're bad guys. But even the good guys, and then leaving out the black guys who were the good guys, because they can't be yellow guys. It's all built in. Now, I don't know what this says about mankind, if other than the fact that if prejudice is built in to us based on what the legacy of influences that we have, then we're all screwed, pretty much. This is not going to happen. And what we're taught and what goes on, if we're kids and we're playing with toys, on top of it, I mean, on top of getting taught. I mean, this is the day and age of an African American president who people call him. People don't like him. They call him a half breed. It's not even bad enough, right? It's some people say, "Now wait a second, he's not completely black." It's only half bad. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. They don't even know that's what they mean. They know that's what they mean because that's what's going on and coagulating in this. This horrible culture that we live in. Now, I know I haven't painted a very nice picture of mankind, but that's not why I'm here. I'm not here to paint a nice picture of mankind. But I think if you know me, and you know here I'm surrounded by, look, I got a Nazi and a Chico over here. What are Mexican slurs anyway? I can't even, I lived in California for a long time. I can't think.
Some racial.
Wetbacks? Slurs. Like things like, is that a wetback?
Wetback, yeah, that's one.
I'm trying to think of, Gardner? No, see, you let people laugh because Gardner.
I don't know.
You know, Spick was originally an Italian slur.
WAP.
Yeah, well, you know what WAP means?
Not really.
WAP, spelled WOP, they got the name because they came over from Italy and they didn't have what is known as papers. Because they just came over, you know, nothing. They weren't
without
brought.
Papers.
Yes, without papers. WOP, WOP. That's what that means. Without papers. So Spick goes to believe it or not. So you want to talk about racial?
Italian. Spick is actually for Italians.
Well, I think and because they used to be the ones who cleaned up, and what did they? And that was the phrase was spick and span. And then what did they do? They marketed that into something that they used for soap. So at first it's derogatory.
A lot of money off that. Yeah. Too. Wow.
Then they found a way to use it and to make a commercial. That's what this is all about. Anyway, spick and span. I thought maybe it was an Irish guy, an Italian, and an Irish guy. And then when the Italians were all embedded and okay, they were okay now. They're all Americans, third, fourth, fifth generation, right? And who came over? The Puerto Ricans. So they became spicks because they took over the cleaning jobs. It's amazing, right? Yeah, it's absolutely, it's astounding what we do. And this is happening in America. Forget, you know, this isn't like those countries where, they kill, it's like, you had, you know, the guy, the mother had a girl, so they kill him, we want a boy, we don't want it, so they kill the daughter. I mean, look at, what are we doing here? What's going on? You know what, too, what's going on? Homo erectus. Somewhere back there. Today they found the skull. Wouldn't it be something if they found out that Homo erectus really was, that there was a piece of DNA, there was something in there, in his brain, that has gone traveled through the blood of everybody in mankind, from first man, from that whole, all the way down to us. All right, and it's I don't want to use the F word, but it's this. Let's say screwed. It's the frick. Let's say frick instead. I just don't want to say. I don't like to say the word. I don't want to say the word. Let's say the frick. There's the frick gene. You know how they found the God particle, which is they found the frick gene. Let's say the frick gene is this thing that's in mankind. All right, and it's like we all have it. The frick gene somewhere, and it just naturally makes us hate anybody who's not us. I mean, you're different. Anybody's anywhere near different. So it takes us, you know, so it wouldn't even matter. You came from where you came from. As long as you're not where I'm from and you're not like one of me and I hate you. That's it. That's the simple thing. They found out that's like, wow, that is intrinsic in the chemistry of the human mind. And perhaps then we can realize that we're all just screwed by all this, and there's no way out of it, no matter because you know why? Because you have to. It's not natural. It's not natural not to be racist. That's just natural. You're afraid of anything that's different, right? To remember all science fiction, all those stories about aliens coming in. And isn't that funny? They call them aliens, right? What do they call the people who jump, his people, jumping over the fences and coming into America? They're, what are they?
Illegal aliens.
Aliens! They don't have spaceships! The spaceships are aliens! He called them aliens! It's the same thing. I'm Frank Cotolo, the man's name is doing the title of the show. This is Cotolo Chronicles, and once again, I have just opened up a cauldron of things, a giant mixture of elements and thoughts and stuff and feelings. I know you have them, and I know you're going to be thinking about it. And you'll be looking at your toys, too, or thinking about the toys you used to have. Did you have the white men? I had the white men. I'm a white man. You know what I was really weird, too? This week, I actually signed up for Obamacare, and it had race. It said, you don't have to answer this, but what are you, right? So it had Spanish. Although in Latin, it said Latin. And then it said white. And I'm going, wait a second. It could be Spanish. I could be Spanish. I could be white. I could be German. I could be white and Aryan. I'm white. It's a German. No, I'm white. And I said, put white. Of course you got to put white. And you couldn't put white and something else. It just said white.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. So I'd be so then once again I realized, well, I'm white, and that's that. Huh? You're white too, though, and you're Mexican. You're white too, and you got all this German blood, and we're all related to Genghis Khan. So actually, we're brothers, all of us. I don't know if that's a conclusion, but I'll tell you this much: next time, Tom Savino will be here. And you'll get the finest jokes you could possibly do. Tonto jokes, maybe. I don't know what we'll do. We'll be doing some sort of stuff. And we're glad. Thank you guys for thank you for protecting me during these 2 hours, Raul.
Anytime, Frank.
And he means that too, and I know he does. And
He's always on call.
He's always on call. He's the man. And don't go to Afghanistan, please. Don't go. Are you going anymore?
I don't know. We'll see. Once I'm standing there with the plane ticket on the plane, then we'll know.
So you're gonna go to the airport and wait? He's gonna go to the airport.
In the military, they tell you don't believe you're getting deployed until you're standing there with the plane ticket.
Oh, I understand what you say. Right? Don't believe.
I was supposed to get deployed last year, but two days before my deployment.
What did you call you up on the phone, or did they ask you to come by?
They texted me.
They text you.
I was driving my car on my way to work. And
pack your bullets, you're on your way. What are they doing?
And I get a text saying, oh, check your AKO email. And I'm like, why? Are we having like drill this weekend or something? And he was like, no, you're getting deployed. And I was like, what? I almost got into an accident and everything. Like,
don't go.
That's not how you
don't go. Stay here. But anyway, in any event, in all event, certainly this event, thank you, Jeremy.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, thank you very much. Once again, oh my God, I don't know what to do with you guys. We'll have you know where to go. Go to Cotolo Chronicles. Go to Facebook. Go to Twitter. Go do what you got to do. And remember, wait. We have to tell. We can't leave without saying.
These days, you shouldn't even play this song. I can just do it with noises.
Why don't you work that out on your program you got there? As Alex, the African gray parrot, African green panda. Yep. We just want to tell you, you be good. See you tomorrow. I love you. Don't forget to tell everybody that. Wherever you go, whenever you leave them, wherever you are, we'll be back again next week. Juice Talked Radio, where you can get the archives and hear this and play it again and have a whole bunch of fun. Make it into a wave and change what we say. Cut off the things. Have Jeremy say stupid things. Oh, no, that's impossible. You're reality. You probably make it smart. Thank you, Raul. Thank you, everybody else.
You can create answering machines messages.
Yeah, you can do that, too. Good night, Mrs. Hirschweiler, wherever you are. Say hello to your father when you see him. We'll be talking to you next time. Good night. I said good night to Mrs. Hirschweiler. Okay, we are definitely leaving now because I have nothing more to say.
到冰球，小村到大市，咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心，是 Cthulhu Chronicles。